because I'm reminded of January the 4th, 1945, when her brother, who was a Corsair pilot in my squadron, laid down his life, as so many other young men did. On that day, I did not dream that 70 years later, and after my 90th birthday, I would still be fighting for democracy in what was Flight Sergeant Pilot Jim Danzy's hometown. It is evident that the controversy which has led to the division with not only council, but right throughout the ratepayers of this district, lies solely with the ineffectiveness of the Te Arawa Standing Committee, with its present members, and the consequent inattention of council to any problems that may have arisen. Their photograph under the heading of Te Arawa Speaks Out, as printed in the Rotorua Post, doesn't inspire me to have any faith in their ability to speak on behalf of such an auspicious body of iwi. In May 2013, when the council was defeated in an appeal action, an order to pay $115,000 towards legal costs, the council blundered in ordering a cultural audit to ascertain why it was criticised for a significant dysfunction and for having misled both parties and the court. The employment of Mr. Tama Hovell, who had been counsel for Ngāti Pikiao at a cost of $30,000, gave the ineffective Te Arawa Standing Committee an admirable opportunity to extend his duty to the drafting of a partnership plan, which with enthusiasm from the Standing Committee was submitted to council. In my time, I've been a director of the Rangitai Plains Dairy Company and the Whakatane Harbour Board, both operating in an area where we have been responsible for dealing with both Māori and Pākehā, and without fear and favour, democratically. None of the options in the partnership plan come anywhere near what could be called a democratic solution. Any request by government to consult Māori did not mean that they should be given an unfair advantage over other branches of society within the Rotorua District Council area. Placing Te Arawa where they have unelected persons giving voting rights on even one of the main council committees is undemocratic, to say the least, and disadvantages any other sector who has equal rights to be heard. I am not anti-Māori. As a matter of fact, I voted for two of the council members I know to be of Te Arawa descent. I was at the December meeting and heard one person I had helped secure a seat say, "My people." It is easy to see who is more important to that councillor than me. I do not agree with any aspect of the Te Arawa partnership model, as I don't want people who have not been elected in an election for council being co-opted onto any committee that will give them power to affect me. Nor do I want any group be given disproportionate power in this manner to the disadvantage of any other group. The way should be clear for all groups to be able to contribute by way of giving advice where thought to be needed, and this should be freely given and not at a cost to ratepayers. I expect council to be responsible in their decisions, as they were trusted to do when they were elected. Democracy can be achieved by allowing all groups to contribute fairly on any matter which concerns all ratepayers, but this should not include any remuneration. I hope council will rethink and make a fresh start, one that includes all interest groups, Māori, community, mountain bike riders, anyone who feels concerned, and any experts whose advice may be sorely needed. I conclude with a quotation from Thomas Sowell in his book Knowledge and Decisions, which you all must know, written in 1966. Even within democratic nations, the focus of decision-making has drifted away from the individual, the family, and voluntary associations of various sorts, and towards government. And within government, it has moved away from elected officials, subject to voter feedback, towards more insulated governmental institutions, such as bureaucracies and the appointed judiciary. Even in a small place like New Zealand and Rotorua, this is becoming ever more so. The expansion of government departments, the creation of unitary councils, the appointment of unelected groups with full voting rights that influence policy, all contribute to the diminution of democracy. That is my submission, Your Worship.
Thank you, Mr. Wellington. Have we any questions? Councillor Gould.
Thank you, Reg, for your submission. Have you looked at other options? You know, there are other options out there like Mary Ward's system.
The only options I have looked at, Councillor, are those that allow any group of association to have their say, but not on a paid basis, just for advice. And councillors of your standing should be free to ask them to contribute where you think they are needed.
Councillor Stewart.
Reg, and welcome. Reg, I take it from your submission, please, because I'm making notes on every submission, that you're not against council having a relationship with Te Arawa, but you're opposed, you think it's a bridge too far to afford voting rights on the committee. Is that your position?
If they have relations with Te Arawa, they should have relations with every other body. They should be open to have relations with every other body in the ratepayer area.
Okay, thank you.
Wellington.
Thank you.
And now I understand Edward Keefe is here. Thank you, Edward. That's submission 107, page 43. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Your Worship. Ladies and gentlemen, how do you follow that? As a background to my submission, I realise you will all have heard similar and by now know the history better than me. A great injustice was perpetrated against Indigenous people in New Zealand in the Victorian era. Europeans were encouraged to settle not just in Australia and New Zealand.
The microphone a little bit closer. Thank you. No. Heather will sort it.
Can we hear?
Yeah.
Excellent. Shall I start again? It's okay, it's a short one. A great injustice was perpetrated against the Indigenous people of New Zealand in the Victorian era. Europeans were encouraged to settle not just in Australia or New Zealand, but other countries where the various colonial powers were carving out empires. Early settlers who were promised a new life in New Zealand saw vast tracts of the country covered in virgin forests, which they set about clearing and farming. Treaties and agreements were made by politicians and unscrupulous persons, which were not honoured by some of the people involved. Laws and regulations were skewed in favour of the rising groups who had arrived and settled the country, to the detriment of those already here. Since the 1970s, various governments have sought to redress the imbalances and injustices carried out in those yesteryears. Today we live in a multicultural society, and the ideal of one person, one vote is what we believe in. We should remember what has gone before, but move forward in the present day and age. Do I support in principle the intention to partner with Te Arawa? No. The reason? All residents of Rotorua should have equal opportunities to be involved in issues affecting our community. If you wish to have a place, get elected and be involved in decision-making for votes. What aspects of the Te Arawa partnership do you agree with and why? I do not agree with any part of it. I do not want unelected representatives having undue influence on council standing committees. What aspects do I disagree with? The proposed partnership gives disproportionate representation to one special interest group in the community. There are many more groups that make up the fabric of our society: business, seniors, Asians, etc. In my opinion, the core business of council is roading, sewage, water reticulation, rubbish collection and disposal. I also disagree with the CEO appointment and performance being supervised by unelected parties. Is there any other option? I favour the democratic governance model. Do you have any further comments? I do not want unelected people on council committees making decisions. If this model proceeds, it will set a precedent for every other group to demand the same treatment and opportunity. It devalues the vote of all non-Te Arawa people in Rotorua. Disenfranchisement is not democracy. It's mine.
Any questions, councillors? There appear to be none. Thank you for your contribution.
Thank you.
Is there anybody sitting in the galleria who is on the speaking list today who's prepared to come forward? We're doing a little bit of shuffling around. We are. All right, well, we'll have to either sit and wait or adjourn for 10 minutes and come back, but even then, yes, speakers are simply not here. Nobody in the galleria? No. Well, they don't tell me he hasn't appeared. Adjourn till 2 o'clock. Thank you.
Thank you.
papers and... You do, James. We'll wait till people are in here. And put, James, put the microphone quite close to your mouth because people at the back love to hear and can't always hear. So, councillors, as we reconvene, we are now looking at James Collins' submission 146 on page 45. So we'll just wait till people come in. They're all grouping. Yep. James Collins. We got a little bit ahead of ourselves after lunch, James.
Let's.
The slight delay is all of these submissions are being recorded. So we're just turning on the recording system.
Are you ready to go?
No, could you wait a minute, James? Sorry.
That's fine.
Can't see out there. Yeah. I see people running to get back in, so nicer if they regroup in here. They like to hear you. You've done a lot of preparatory work. Pour yourself a drink, James. Just relax.
I'm fine. Thank you.
How do we know when it's on?
JPEG's coming back.
Well, I'll prattle on while we just wait. He's nearly here, but welcome everybody who were not here this morning. We are sticking very strictly to time, and for those submitters this afternoon, if you want questions, then the 10 minutes can't be taken up fully by speaking. So we're closing off questions and the speaking at 10 minutes, just in order of the interest of time, really. They'll be recorded, and we'll have the public record complete at the end of hearing. So, James, would you like to start?
Okay. Good afternoon, everybody. Thanks for the opportunity to speak on this Te Arawa partnership model. I am against it for probably three main reasons. Firstly, I totally disagree with having unelected people on. I know that it's not strictly on council, but those committees, I understand, are otherwise taken up by councillors, and I'd be very surprised if something that went through one of those committees was not ratified at a full council meeting. So I totally am opposed to having unelected people on at making decisions for the ratepayers. The second point I'd like to make is, as a ratepayer, I'm totally opposed to paying for unelected people to be able to have influence on council decisions. As I understand it, the council has not been able to give us an accurate estimate of how much this proposal would actually cost. And even if they could, based on my previous experience with the council, it's likely to be considerably more. So as a ratepayer, I'm very opposed to having to pay for that. The third point I'd like to make is that Te Arawa is, along with everybody else in the Rotorua district, do have, are able to put their, anything that they want the council to do or not do, they've got no less rights to submit proposals or veto them than anybody else. And in fact, I believe that the court decision, which has precipitated this partnership model, illustrates that if Te Arawa's rights are stepped on, if they're not taken into account, they have recourse to the courts to remedy that. Other than that, I'm quite pleased to come here. It's quite nice to be able to put faces to the councillor's name. So I'll look forward to hearing what you all have to say come the next elections.
Thank you, James. And it's great when the public feels moved to come and submit for us. Any questions, Councillor Gould?
Thank you, James, for your report today. I'm quoting from page 46, submission 146 yourself. You said, is there another option or arrangement that you would prefer and why? You said, keep the current standing committee, that's the Te Arawa Standing Committee, but have you thought of a community board?
I'm not unopposed to a community board. I think Te Arawa has every right. They should have, their voice should be heard. But alongside that, everybody else's voice should be heard, so a community board would hopefully fit that function with all members of the community represented, hopefully.
No other questions, so it's not too hard, is it, coming before a committee?
No.
Thanks, James.
Okay, thank you.
Now we ask Ralph Mosen, submission 152, and for councillors on page 47. Good afternoon, Ralph.
Kia ora, Stevie. Kia ora koutou. I are here today to talk of the partnership proposal. I believe that it is a proposal that when anybody gets together and they don't have sufficient information, you co-opt that experience and that expertise. I believe that that is what is being proposed here today with the proposal. I think that the recipients of the knowledge around identity, language and culture are Māori, and it would be unwise and unsafe for the council to make decisions that impact Māori aspirations if they did not take full advice from Māori. It is also, in my submission, one of the first things that I've put in my submission is that there is a legal obligation upon council to take Māori views into decision making. Anything that impacts on Māori, anything under the Treaty of Waitangi which impacts upon the aspirations of Māori needs to be taken into consideration in decision making. And if not through this model, then what model? And I heard Councillor Gould's comment with regards to a community board. I believe Te Arawa deserve more than that. Second part of my submission was around the Fenton Agreement. 15 land trusts were established in the early 1880s to gift a large portion of land, which is now currently the CBD, to the township of Rotorua. And in return for that generosity from Ngāti Whakaui, they were given one third of the voting rights of the then council. I don't know what it was called back in the 1880s, but there was a three-man panel, and one of them was empowered by Ngāti Whakaui. And that very quickly seemed to be lost. And further to that, the 15 land trusts that were established to receive the land, that land was then traded, it was sold, all against the constitution of the land trust that were established to receive that land. So I see this as some way of going back to redress historical wrongs that have been done towards Ngāti Whakaui and Te Arawa in particular. The second point I'd like to make is that, and it is linked to the first one with regards to the legal obligation, is that the government and the Ministry of Education in particular has a magnificent document called Whakapūmautia Papakōwhaitia Tauāna. And that sets the blueprint for every interaction that Ministry of Education has to have with iwi and hapū throughout the land. And if council don't have a copy of that, I would recommend very strongly that they get a copy of that and read it and absorb it. Because this is how, in 2015... organisations should be communicating and interacting with Māori. And I'm open for questions.
Ralph, have we any questions? You better leave the name of that document. It's not in your submission.
I will email that to whoever.
Thank you.
Yep.
Thank you.
John Paul, I'll email that to you, John. John Paul.
Councillor Weeper.
Yeah. Thank you very much for coming in. Just to ask a quick question. I'm not sure if you're familiar with there's a model being put through forward by a number of people that, and included in that, it says that if there should be committees, but they shouldn't be paid. For example, people with Te Arawa on it and another group. Do you believe that people should be paid if they're on a committee?
I most definitely do. Too often, Māori have given and given and given and haven't received anything, and it still happens today. I don't see any reason why that should happen. I can give you a classic example, and this is happening right now, and it's with regards to discussions on the Rotorua Eastern Arterial. There is discussions going on with Transit New Zealand and with Rotorua Lakes Council and three hapū over whose land that proposed designation is set. Now, whenever those meetings sit around that table, two of those organisations are paid and three of them get nothing. And the resources that those two others can bring to that table are massive, and everything else from the three hapū is voluntary. And it's just not a level playing field, in my opinion. Kia ora.
And now we're moving to Stuart Edward. And for councillors, it's submission 159, page 48. Good afternoon.
Your Worship, thank you for the welcome. And particularly thank you for the opportunity of being able to present on this important idea. The Te Arawa Partnership. Yes, I support this, and my opening comment would be that we have nothing to fear and everything to gain. A little bit of background, I was brought up in the city and have worked as a dentist in the city since 1971, but I believe it is hugely important in these times to have iwi as an integral part of the decision-making process for the Rotorua Lakes Council. The social and economic development of this district is intrinsically linked with tangata whenua, historically and for the future. This historical background is well documented by Don Stafford in his book, The Founding Years of Rotorua. He outlines the events leading up to the 1880 Fenton Agreement, the formation of the town, and the establishment of the inaugural town board. Rotohiko Haupapa was elected by his people to the position of the representative of the town board. The government of the day gazetted the town board and appointed Rotohiko Haupapa as one of the three inaugural board members. To my mind, then, a precedent was established at that time. The opportunities that were recognised by Te Aroha in the 1880s have become increasingly relevant today. Treaty of Waitangi settlements, asset ownership over a number of fields, make the logic of a partnership between Iwi and Roto Lakes Council a most significant step forward for our combined communities. This notion of partnership was reinforced locally at the Lakes Water Quality Symposium on Thursday, 12th of March, by the Honourable Nick Smith, Minister for the Environment, when he addressed the symposium. He noted the strategic partnerships with Iwi were a strength when finding solutions for the environmental challenges facing the district. In his view, both parties, Te Aroha and the Rotorua Lakes Council, should celebrate that partnership as a long-term ongoing relationship for the future. In addition, the Sunday Star Times of 15th of March 2015 quote Dr. Murray Horn, a former Secretary of Treasury and a chair of the National Health Board, when talking about the challenges facing government today, saying, "Going further requires partnerships and community action to address failures in areas such as health, crime and other areas." This is high-level affirmation of the need for productive partnerships and communities between Iwi and other communities of interest. This principle provides the opportunity for Iwi to have a legitimate role in the decision-making process for the future. Through such a process, Rotorua has the opportunity, in my view, to be a national leader in race relations, providing a role model for the rest of the country with such an arrangement. The late Bishop Manu Bennett used to talk about two people, one country. His vision was to recognise and use the different skills and talents of Māori and Pākehā to develop the country, a focus on the ability to work together for the benefit of all, but to recognise that relationship in a formal manner. Now, as Chair of the Lakes DHB from the year 2001 to 2010, I had the opportunity to observe the workings of three consecutive boards. They were comprised of elected and appointed members. The Act at the time also allowed for appointed Iwi members within the construct of the board. Iwi then represented Te Aroha and Ngāti Tuwharetoa respectively. Iwi members had full voting rights at both board and subcommittee level. In my view, this arrangement did not detract from the decision-making processes of those boards. In fact, there was a transition from the circumstances of having to write letters of comfort or having to have letters of comfort from the Ministers of Finance and Health to proceed with the board business in 2001. And we went from that ridiculous situation to being, in 2010, appearing in front of the Parliamentary Health Select Committee to demonstrate that the Lakes DHB had performed very well. As a matter of parliamentary record, it was noted at the time that the Lakes DHB was rated in the top third of the DHBs for both financial and clinical performance. My point here is that the structure of the board did not negatively impact on the performance of the board. And I note that over the years, council members elected onto the DHB did not object to that board construct. Another working example of Iwi community relationships partnership working is the relationship between the Ngāti Vaukohi Endowment Board and the community of Rotorua. Since the early 1900s, this board has gifted the proceeds from commercial rents to the city and education. All the schools have benefited from this generosity, and the financial impact has given more education resources and opportunities for all children at schools in the Rotorua area. And I'm proud to say that all the members of my family who went to the school have benefited from that generosity to the local education system. Your Worship, in summary, my view is that our community needs the combined resources and energy of its people to recapture the growth opportunities that were present in previous generations. Our economic futures, fortunes in this city will be progressively more intertwined. The Māori economy is, in my view, is set to play a major role both locally and nationally. The Wataru Lakes Council has the possibility of establishing a governance relationship with Te Arawa that would build on the contributions that have already been made. In doing so, the Lakes Council has a unique opportunity to be visionary, innovative, and grasp the chance to improve race relations and build the local economy. I believe that together, that is possible to provide and forge a productive future that will be the envy of the country. Thank you.
Do we have questions? Councillor Stewart.
Thank you, Stewart, for your enlightening submission, which they all have been, actually. Stewart, based on your submission that I've got in front of me, in your experience, we've had many submissions talking about a group of people wanting power gain. In your experience, are we dealing with the Te Arawa people who are power hungry and interest in their own self-interest or the wider community interest, as you seem to illustrate throughout your submission? Is that your experience?
Well, thank you, Councillor Stewart. Well, I've lived in this city an awfully long time, and I have had the privilege of having wonderful relationships with Ngāti Whakaū in particular and other members of Te Arawa. And my observation in talking with people as I've got to know the community is that they have a vested interest in the long-term future for everybody in our city. And I think the outlining the education initiative was one example of that. And I think that really the opportunity, I think one of the things that really has concerned me, when I was on the DHB, we were funded by the population-based funding formula. And it was very clear that Rotorua, and we were part of a region, it had Taranaki, Waikato, Bay of Plenty, Te Rāwhiti, and ourselves. And it was very clear that the growth patterns in our city were just holding and no more. Waikato and Bay of Plenty were going full steam upwards, and Te Rāwhiti and Taranaki were going downwards. That the future that we have, the opportunities, in my view, are enormous if we have a productive partnership with iwi. And I think that iwi are looking not in a selfish sense, but have always looked in the broad brush view of the community and have looked at it as a long-term prospect. And I think that would be wonderful if we could do that in that mahi tahi working together concept.
Thank you, Stuart, for an interesting submission. There's a line of thinking that Te Arawa already have three Māori elected onto council, and that's more than representative of the population of Te Arawa. And the question is asked, why should there be more unelected at that?
You could say exactly the same with the issues on the DHB, and it's a very different situation where you have people elected individually as opposed to having a collective view. And I think there's enormous possibilities of having from a governance point of view, of having the collective view of Te Arawa outside the elected individuals, because you're going to get a much broader perspective of things. And one of the things that I think we enjoyed most of all on the DHB was the fact that we had the ability to bring a different perspective and view. Being an elected person doesn't always allow you to do that. You're mindful of your elected responsibilities, I guess, but the ability to be able to think in a broader fashion on a Te Arawa base, I think, would be extraordinarily valuable, and I think would add value. What I see is the opportunity of simply valuing the opportunity of bringing different perspectives into the lifeblood of our city and to grow for the future.
That does bring you to the end of your time.
Thank you.
Thank you. And now, Blanche Kingdom. Blanche is here, and thank you for offering to come forward earlier. Page 105, councillors. Thank you for being flexible, Blanche.
Well, I had it here and I was getting nervous. So so I offered.
Thank you.
So thank you for giving me the opportunity, Madam Mayor and councillors, for speaking to my submission. I voted against the partnership plan because I believe that in its present form, it is unjust and unfair. It is unfair because it gives only one sector of the community the privilege to assist elected councillors to make decisions on my behalf, on behalf of all the ratepayers of Rotorua. And it is unjust because it proposes to appoint unelected people to make decisions on my behalf, on the governance of the city. And furthermore, these people will not be accountable to the whole of the electorate, but to a small committee of Te Aroha. They will not have been chosen by the usual legal process, a process that engages the whole of the electorate in a local body election every 3 years. And as they have not been chosen, been elected by the usual method, and I use the word democratically elected, if their performance is unsatisfactory, there appears to be no method of terminating that appointment, as any electorate can do with an unsatisfactory councillor every 3 years, vote him or her off. The fact that this group is Te Aroha makes not one scrap of difference to the unfairness of this proposal. I can't see any justification in law to give any one group of people a privilege that is denied to the majority of the community. It places a disproportionate amount of power in the hands of one group to the disadvantage of all the other groups and to the majority of the community. I actually see this plan as South African apartheid in reverse. Now, I am of Te Aroha descent. I am a direct descendant of Te Rangitaka Kororo, who was the chief of Te Kotu Pa Okataina. I'm a direct descendant. He goes back 6 great-grandfathers. And I also find it patronising and offensive that such procedures as outlined in the partnership plan is being proposed as a better way to include Te Aroha in the decision-making of the Rotorua District Council. I know, and you know, Te Aroha can do this on their own without getting a free ride on council or council committees. And it has done this very effectively in the last local body election by having 3 Te Aroha people elected to the council. And there was no controversy over that selection. There was only pride that the representation on the council now was more appropriate to the ethnic makeup of the district. Well, it's almost. We still need some Asians and some Indians. And what about the other? and what about the other iwi living permanently in Rotorua? Ngāi Tahu have substantial large commercial interests in the city, and under the Local Government Act 2002, councils must engage with Māori, just not one iwi. So under this proposal, which I strongly oppose, Te Aroha will have disproportionate power in council. And I understand that each councillor swears to do his or her best for the whole of the community. Then my question is, these people that are appointed to the standing committees, where will they place their loyalties? Now, I even have a greater concern over the cost of this proposal. Most of the present councillors in their campaign for the 2013 elections, they promised to tackle the immense debts that are strangling Rotorua's development. Recently, attempts have been made to extract from council officers a budget for the partnership plan. But they keep giving us the old line of it's only going to cost $250,000 and $290,000 in election year. Now, that seems to be the cost associated with the old Te Arawa Standing Committee. And this structure will have more people on it, double the people. So I can't see how the costs can be maintained at the same level. And from past experience, and I've lived here a long time,